And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we have, I think, a rather interesting program. I did a little research myself, and there are many things that I knew already about this topic, but I thought you might be interested. You know, we all live, well, in areas of the United States that sometimes, you know, we don't even know what's available there locally. We don't even know what, let's say, the scenic sites are. And, you know, I've traveled around the United States, and I've seen things, boy, they're amazing things. I remember going through Eberton, Georgia, and coming upon the so-called Georgia Guidestones. And these were put there by Masons, and it's a strange situation. But it turned out that many of the people in Eberton didn't know much about the Guidestones at all. But there it was, a monument dedicated to removing around 6.5 million people off the face, or a billion, that is, people off the face of the planet Earth. Yeah, a pagan statue where they're doing sacrifices and all of that right there in the little town of Eberton, Georgia. And not too far from there in Eberton, Georgia, Juan and I just happened to pass by like a little city. It was like a Egyptian city. Had its own pyramid and obelisk and all that. Big fence around it. I have no idea who owned the place. How would you like to live or own an Egyptian city in Georgia? Well, there are a lot of places like that in Texas, too, right here in Texas. You know, they say that Texas is its own country. Think about that. Texas is its own country. People sort of snicker and laugh when you say that. But, of course, you know, I was born here in the state of Texas, and little town in East Texas. Name was Fred, F-R-E-D. And there's an old joke, you know, here in Texas. I was born in Fred between, you know, Alice and Comfort or something. No, I'm sorry. I got it all wrong. I was born in Comfort between Fred and Alice. Oh, my. Of course, there is a Comfort, Texas, and a Fred, Texas, and a Alice, Texas. So I was born in Fred. I went back there later on when I was a grown-up to see what Fred was like, and I think there were two buildings in the whole town, and they were both ramshackle and dilapidated. My dad used to own one of them. That's right. He used to own a little gas station, little bitty gas station. He was the only, you know, one of the two businessmen in town. But he owned this little gas station, but it was back during the Depression. He couldn't make a living because everybody would, you know, it was one of these little places where they had a little bit of food and a little bit of milk and bread and such. And everybody would always ask credit. Can I get some milk for my babies on credit? My babies are starving. And my dad was kind-hearted. He'd give everything away. Pretty soon everybody had credit, and my dad had no money, and the business failed. Well, in any case, you know, I was thinking about Austin, Texas recently. Where I'm from, Austin, Texas. That's our address here, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's it. Austin, Texas. You know, Austin's a very famous place. Now there's about 2 million people here, 2 million in the whole metro area. When I moved here 40 years ago, there was about, well, less than 1 million. So it's doubled in size in 40 years. That's sort of unique. And it's also become a high-tech center. In fact, they say that there's more high-tech going on here than any place in the United States except for Silicon Valley. This is called Silicon Hills. We have these hills around here, the hill country. So they say this is Silicon Hills. Now, I became interested when I saw so many New Age and occult sites here. I said, could one city have all of these occult things? And this is like a new city. This is not like one of the old cities up north, you know, Detroit or Baltimore or New York City. This is a young, fresh, vibrant new city. Austin, Texas. The capital of Texas. It's right in the center of Texas. A big river runs right through it. It's called, you know, the live music capital of the world. There's more live music going on here at these nightclubs. And I mean, it was stop to eat anywhere. There'll probably be a little band in there. Just get a barbecue sandwich. There's a band in the place. Might only be three customers, but there's four or five people in the band. It's strange. Everywhere you turn, there's some band somewhere. They say there's 1,000 bands going on at once somewhere in Austin, Texas. Somewhere that's got a band. Of course, every year they have a big old festival called South by Southwest, and bands come from all over the United States and the world, and talent scouts come here and judge them, and many people get big multi-million dollar contracts. Rock and roll bands and country bands and so forth. There's even a Austin Music Live. What is it called, Jerry? There you go. Austin City Limits. Used to be just country music. I sort of enjoyed it, Wanda and I, but now it's, they got all kind of crazy music on there. I don't much enjoy it anymore. Maybe you would. Maybe you do. But this is called the live music capital of the world. And there's so many eclectic night spots and hole-in-the-wall establishments sporting live music entertainment. You can't possibly count them all, but they say here that there's 100 different famous, you know, rock and roll bands that started here. That's the strangest name, too. I mean, I could, you know, the Spotted Zebra, you know, whatever. I don't know. Crazy names. Crazy names. This city prides itself on being quite a high-tech place. And they say there's more books sold here in Austin, Texas, per capita, than I think. There's only one other city in the United States where they sell more books, and that's the city where Harvard University is. So people here read. They still read. In fact, you know, there used to be the largest New Age and occult bookstore in the world here in Austin, Texas. I think it may have closed this door now. I'm not sure. I haven't been going there. I used to be a frequent shopper. I'd go in there, and that was the strangest place. Can you imagine? That have wild music. I mean, I say wild. It was weird. You know, this sort of Indian stuff going on, and have candles and incense. And I couldn't stay in there long. I'd probably fall out from all the incense and the smoke and such. But it was a huge bookstore. Had room after room. And they had Hindu books and occult, satanic books and I'd go there to do a little research every once in a while. I always had to pray up before I went in. If you didn't pray up, boy, yeah, I promise you. One time I went in that bookstore to get a magazine to do some research, and I got in there and I was deep among the magazines, and they had more magazines than almost any bookstore I'd ever seen. And as I was, you know, just standing there going through the pages, I felt something trying to enter my body. It was trying to enter my forehead. Now, let me tell you something. You see, I had not prayed up before I went in that store. I got so used to going in there, I thought I was impervious to demon spirits. And I would just pull my car in and just go in that store. The largest New Age and occult bookstore in the whole world, they said. But I felt something trying to enter my body. And I tell you, I stopped immediately and I prayed to Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, protect me. I should have prayed before I came, right before I came to this store. And I ask you to protect me now and to get rid of this demon spirit that's trying to attack me. And immediately I felt cleansed. I felt, you know, free. And after that, every time I went there, I prayed. I would drive my car over the parking lot and I'd bow my head and pray before I went in there. Cause that was both the most wicked place. You know, the owner got to know me. He didn't like me much. And one time I brought a pastor friend of mine with me to see the place. They sold crystals in there and they sold all kind of stuff, you know. But they had more books than you could imagine. Freemasonry books and so forth. And they had on every topic, on every, you know, Buddhist books, Hindu books, from Nepal, just, you know, amazing books. And so the owner of the bookstore came up to see me and my pastor friend, who was from out of town. I promised him a real treat. You'll never see a place like this. So he believed me, and he went to see the place, and it was shocking to him how many satanic books there were in the world. He didn't know there were that many. I told him this was bigger than any Christian bookstore he'd ever seen. I told him also that there was a New Age Book Alliance, and they sold more New Age and occult books in the United States than they sold Christian books. He was just amazed. But, you know, the bookstore owner came up to see both of us as we were standing there, and I shook his hand. I said, "How are you doing, sir?" And he said, "Fine." And he said, "How do you like my bookstore?" And my pastor friend said, "Well, I think that the place is just confused. You don't know what you're doing. You got books on every topic, every subject, every satanic, and every false religion there is. This is just confusion," he said. Well, the owner of the bookstore smiled a little bit, and he says, "Well, you know, there is a God of confusion, and many in the New Age worship him. His name is Typhon, the Greek God of confusion." Well, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? They even worship a god of confusion in the New Age movement. Well, this place has the University of Texas, one of the premier universities in the United States. And it's got a museum that they don't much let people go into. I forget the name of the museum. Now, do you remember it, Jerry? It's a big museum. They don't even let people go. They've been collecting stuff. And I was reading recently that it is now the most luxurious and rich museum in the whole world. That's what they say. There's all kind of things in there. I mean, you know, antiquities, and one of the first books ever published in the world's in there. And, oh, I mean, all kind. They say that they've got so many materials coming in, they've been buying stuff, that they haven't even bothered to catalog it yet. Most of the stuff is kept up in huge rooms upstairs, and they haven't even gone to them and cataloged them yet. They say that universities like Yale and Harvard and Princeton, their libraries are like nothing to the University of Texas library. And I read in the paper that the reason they've got so much money is they've got oil. You see, when they first founded the University of Texas, the state had all these oil lands all over the state, and they donated a bunch of the oil lands to the University of Texas. And then, of course, they really discovered oil, and it became really big. And that's used everywhere, of course. And so the University of Texas has all these oil royalties. It's incredible. So much money flowing. I mean, the University of Texas is a rich, rich university from all these oil lands. And, you know, this is a city, I mean, residents say this is a weird city. They actually have bumper stickers here that say, "Keep Austin weird. Keep Austin weird." And of course, there's also, you know, Austin in another country and all that kind of stuff. Now, people here believe in quantum physics. They don't believe in reality as we know it, folks. They believe in an alternative reality. And, you know, I sort of believe in that, too, because I've seen a parade of bizarre Texas politicians come through here. Just bizarre. They actually had a governor named Governor Hogg, H-O-G-G. Governor Hogg, and he had two daughters. And weren't their names really Ima and Ura? Or is that just a fable? Just a fable. Jerry here, my sidekick here on the radio, says that's just come on, Jerry. Now we got to keep the legend going here. The Governor Hall got two daughters named one Ima and one Ura. But I don't know. It may be a false story. But I'm had a whole family of hogs. But anyway, they say that this place has local celebrities. It's like a local circus. You go down to 6th Street at night. Now, 6th Street is sort of like Bourbon Street in New Orleans, but it's weirder than Bourbon Street. And 6th Street has all these local celebrities. I don't even tell you what some of them do. I mean, they're homosexuals, and they're weird people. Street people, I call them. out of this world. I mean, really, they would make Las Vegas a Cirque de Soleil, or Soleil, what do they call that? Cirque de Soleil, okay. I mean, they would make that jealous with all the weirdos here in Austin, Texas. All these nightclubs and everything. One and I, you know, we sometimes go for a drive at night. We drive down that street. And, you know, you begin at the end of 6th Street and drive all the way. And then by the time you finish 6th Street, you're convinced that you're in another world. You've gone to Venus or Jupiter, someplace like that. Oh, my. Now, if you don't like nightclubbing, and I'm not too big on nightclubbing at all, I never go to those places. I guess there's all kind of other shock-a-thon parties and shindigs going on here in Austin, Texas. You can swim nude. Everybody does it. Well, not everybody, I mean, but that's what they say. I've seen stories on it in the magazines and newspapers. Nearby Lake Travis, a beautiful lake. They call this place where they swim nude there, they call it Hippie Hollow. I guess from the hippie days. This is Austin, Texas. A spectacular city of natural beauty. Stupendously wicked in conduct and attitude. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. That element, that very sad, tragic element. It is stupendously wicked in conduct and attitude. Now some blame it on the fact that Austin is home to the University of Texas and its law school. It's got by the way, an assortment of other colleges and universities here in the city. But the University of Texas seems to have its own cross or burden to bear. It's the abode, the home of the University of Texas Longhorns. There's a legendary group of athletes whose exploits have long been storied in such sports as football. You know, the Daryl Royal coach years, Coach Daryl Royal. Basketball, baseball, track, swimming, volleyball, a lot of women's softball sports and so forth. It's here on this campus, and I was a professor there for 5 years. I'm guilty, I guess, of being a professor there. I never did participate in some of the things that other people did, but I remember is a huge university, huge campus, and every day, you know, when I went on my lunch hour, I would take I didn't really want to eat, it was a little snack, and I'd walk across campus. Took me about 20 minutes to get across the campus. Pretty big. I'd go over to a little street called Guadalupe and buy an egg roll or something. But they had pep rallies. They call pep rallies, you know, when they get ready for football games, all the students get all agitated and they're all saying rah, rah and all that. And the football players come out and big crowd comes out. And now it's on this campus here it's in downtown Austin, beautiful campus. I loved my job there. Had a very easy job. And I guess I did well there. They actually nominated me for a professor of the year 1 year. I didn't win, but they nominated me for that. I guess they thought I was pretty smart, pretty nice. Here is where the students give the UT Longhorn sign. And what is it? Why, it's the same as the sign of Satan. It's that two-fingered ascended high sign displays a symbol, you know, do your fingers with the two horns up. I guess you call them horns. I call them fingers, but translated into horns. And people say this is sort of typical of what the Satanists do when they give the sign of El Diablo, the horned devil. But loyalist Texas fans claim it signifies the horns of the huge local livestock species known as the Longhorn. Still, the history of the hand sign's employment in the university and by its legions of fans throughout the state, in fact, the entire nation. I mean, you go to some foreign country, you see people giving you the UT Longhorn sign. They don't even know that it's a sign of the devil at the same time. That points to the rather odd circumstance of its origins. Now, I thought it was just, you know, somebody made that up and they started using it at pep rallies. Dad said all the football games. In fact, you know, when one University of Texas alumnus sees another, he gives them the horn signs, and it's just a popular sign everywhere. I thought, well, you know, maybe some local cowboy. Maybe, you know, he did it and that's where it came from. But the official story is it came from the witches. Now that seems like I'm making it up. Oh, no, you've got a Christian ministry text. You're making this up. No, I'm telling you the truth. In fact, I've seen the man. He's quite old. I think he passed away a year or two ago. But I saw him on television. He was telling how the Texas Longhorn symbol, the hand sign, came about. He said over half a century ago, the university and its fans, its patrons, sought a means to rouse and amplify the rah-rah spirit of Longhorn fans. This was in anticipation of big football games with traditional opponents like Texas A&M University, you know, the Aggies, the University of Oklahoma, the Sooners. Now, at a pep rally, with logs burning on a pyre and spirits soaring, a coven of witches in Austin, it is said, put a hex on UT opponents. They say this happened. A coven of witches with a big fire burning went out, and they put a hex on University of Texas football opponents. Now, to signify the sealing of their curse, the witches raised their arms and hands and gave the sign of El Diablo, or Pan, their horned deity. Now, an enterprising fan high up in the student government thought this was a great idea. It was a brilliant idea the witches had. He said, why couldn't we use the same sign? I mean, they haven't copyrighted it, have they? They haven't trademarked it. This should be the Longhorn symbol and mascot, he thought, and it could hex the despised Aggies and Sooners. Lofting the hand of the sky, he said, was a nifty thing, so word spread around the campus, and soon everyone was doing it, giving the sign of Satan, thinking they were given the Longhorn sign. So it's been around since that time. Now, I talk about it in my book, Codex Magica. I show George W. Bush giving it, his two daughters giving it, which is pretty strange because George W. Bush didn't graduate from the University of Texas, but everybody else seems to enjoy doing it. But you know, when I'm there, I've been to just, I think one, no, two, two football games at the University of Texas. And I felt sort of odd doing it. You know, I didn't want to do it because, you know, that's, you know, maybe the devil wouldn't recognize me as Tex Martin and say, hey, there's another one of mine. I better not do that sign. So I refrained. But everybody else was showing their allegiance to the University of Texas, I hope. So when you see a person with this sign, you have to ask their intent and what they're all about. If they don't know anything from the University of Texas, they're not from Texas. If they're from Illinois or Wisconsin or Oregon or somewhere, probably they're a devil worshiper. Probably not a Texas Longhorn supporter. So I noticed recently that a young man and woman that killed some people in satanic evil ceremonies in Germany recently did the Texas Longhorn signs. Well, it wasn't the Texas Longhorn signs, but it was the witch's hex sign. They didn't know anything about the University of Texas Longhorns. They just knew about Satan. Well, George W. Bush, you know, he's the president who eagerly prosecuted without reasonable cause or provocation. He had a war going on against Iraq and then Afghanistan. He killed some 650,000 people, mostly innocent, plus about 4,000 U.S. troops. The devil was pleased, so I guess it was okay for him to give the devil a sign, wouldn't it? Now, Texans like to brag they were once their own country. This is true. In fact, Texas is one of the few states that was its own country. Now, let me tell you about that story, because it has its occult origins, too. Oh, there's all kind of occult things about Austin, Texas. I'm beginning to think, except for Washington, D.C., this may be the most occult city in the whole United States. But you see, back in the early 1830s, Texas was mostly Hispanic. It was actually part of Mexico. Tejas, it was called. And then a bevy, a large group of Anglo-Americans, white Americans, moved from southern venues like Tennessee and Kentucky to the Hispanic Mexican province of Tejas. Now, why did they do this? Why did Jim Bowie, you know, the guy with the famous knife, or Davy Crockett with the coonskin cap, and of course Sam Houston, who later became General Sam Houston, and President Sam Houston, by the way, also. Now, why did all these white men come to Texas? All at once, they all came together. And they all got a land, built little farms and everything. And then they all said, we don't want the Mexican government anymore. We want to be our own country. Well, you see, there's a story to this. It hasn't really been revealed in history, but I'll tell you about it today. They were all Freemasons. That's right. They were Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, Sam Houston, Stephen F. Austin. They were all Freemasons. And they conspired, the Masonic Lodge in the United States conspired to steal the state of Texas from Mexico and make it part of the United States. Now, they didn't want a war between the United States and Mexico, so they first declared they were just having a rebellion or a revolution against the Mexicans. And they said, we're independent, we're Texans. We want our own Republic of Texas. And they did defeat the Mexicans, and they became the Republic of Texas. For maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, they were the Republic of Texas. Now, think about that. Freemasons wanted Texas, a huge state, a huge territory, but they wanted to be part of the United States. Why do they want to be part of the United States? Because the United States has a destiny. A destiny. At least the Freemasons believe so. And if you go to Washington, D.C., and you see all the buildings and the monuments and the various objects of Freemasonic occult lore, you will discover there is a legend, a destiny for the United States. They want this whole continent to become the new Atlantis. Now, I'm going to do a radio program on that someday, but isn't that odd? I mean, all of these frontiersmen, even Davy Crockett, who, by the way, was a former U.S. congressman. Yeah, he was a U.S. congressman. Sam Houston, he was besotted a little bit. He drank a little bit too much. He was a 33rd degree Mason. Jim Bowie was. These Texas Freemasons were affiliated with the very occultic Scottish Rite lodges. Now, the Mexicans were also Freemasons. They had a leader called Santa Anna. He was also a Freemason. But see, the Mexicans were not part of the Scottish Rite Lodge. They had their own lodges. See, there are Masonic lodges around the world. Now, they're all grouped together because they work together for revolutionary purposes, but sometimes they work by themselves. And the Texas Freemasons were opposed to the Mexican Freemasons. This was really a Masonic war. But it involved the people of Texas too, of whom many were killed. And they didn't even know the Masons were leading it all. Remember the Alamo? They never tell you in that movie, do they? John Wayne played in that movie and a bunch of famous people. They never tell you that it was fought for Freemasonry, for the Masonic Lodge, the state of Texas. We'll talk more about the Masonic Lodge and the state of Texas and the occult world of Austin, Texas, when we return in just a moment. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, we have a video out, a very interesting video. I was asked to be a guest on a show called The Freeman Show. Now, Freeman doesn't have a last name, a surname, but he calls himself Freeman. He was a friend of the ministry, and I'd met him a few times. He seemed like a pretty nice young man, and he asked me to be on his show. He was on Austin Cable Access, and I went down, and we did a two-hour show, and, you know, he turned out to be quite ingenious. And he sort of got things out of me that nobody had gotten before about my book, Codex Magica. Those are the secret hand signs and body signs and code words and all that of the Freemasons and all of the secret societies. And we went over all kind of things. I mean, from Britney Spears to Madonna to everybody, all these satanic activities. And we really had a wonderful time exposing evil. 2 hours long. And of course, he had all kinds of, movie pictures and all kind of great stills and movie signs and so forth. It's 2 hours long, and we offer that video here in the ministry for $25. It's called Codex Magica, The Freeman Perspective. 2 hours long. Now, I was going to do a whole video of my own on Codex Magic, and I thought, why do a video of my own? This seems to suffice, and so many people were ordering it. And we want to offer that to you today also. Codex Magica, The Freeman Perspective. I'm sure we cover the satanic hand sign, too, the so-called UT Longhorn sign. This is the witch's hex. In fact, we cover a little bit of everything. I mean, from Hollywood to all of the Illuminati hand signs and handshakes and magic code words and strange language. But we do, I think, a pretty good job of it, and 2 hours long. And we've gotten great comments from people that really enjoy the video. I hope that you'll order it and you'll enjoy it, too. It's 2 hours. And Freeman, of course, and I'm the guest on the program. You can order that from the ministry here. Just call us on our toll-free line. That's toll-free now, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. By the way, I'll give you a little secret. If you forget the last four digits, use the word, like word of God, W-O-R-D. That's 9673. See how we did that? Okay, little secret there, just for you to know. Now, this video is $25. It's 2 hours. That it will cost you $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. Codex Magica, The Freeman Perspective. Now, it's on our website too, powerofprophecy.com. You can order it there. Use one of your charge cards. People can write a check, of course, or a money order, or send cash to our address, Power of Prophecy, 1708. Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We've been here about 30 some odd years. Jerry, how long have you been here? 18 years Jerry's been here. Wow. Well, you mean I haven't fired you in 18 years, Jerry?
I've been trying.
You tried. You tried me. Now, I'm afraid they're going to fire me now. They're going to have a revolution and take over this place because Jerry's been here 18 years, and Sandra and Michelle, they've been here almost 25 years. And honestly, yeah, I'm going to have to come in here at see if they're having secret meetings at night to overthrow me. You think that Jerry's over there laughing? Hey, you guys may be trying to overthrow me. Okay. God knows, though. You can't get away from God. You know, it's interesting about the state of Texas. They have a song called the Eyes of Texas Are Upon You. Well, the eyes of God are upon my staff here. And God knows everything there is to know. Our address is 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We're out sort of in the boondocks here in Austin, Texas. Actually, everything has grown around us. And this is a real nice street we're on. When we came here, though, there were only a couple of places. I think there was a cemetery and a couple of houses down the road from us. Now there's big mansions down this place. It's incredible. We're at the end of it. I guess people think we're in a mansion, too, but it's not a mansion, but it's a nice little place. And we saw a Mexican lion one time down here, and of course deer and all kind of live, well, not livestock, but I mean, we've got a lot of animals. In fact, I got a few animals on my staff. But anyway, don't laugh, Jerry. No, Jerry's a good guy. He really is. I've enjoyed Jerry and all of the members of the staff. You know, God has given us the people who work with us, and he's given us the people who listen to this program. So if you're listening to us, it's not by accident. You didn't just tune in and get it. God gave you this program. And that's why we're able to stay in business. We sell videos and such. And, you know, people think that we actually make money selling things. We don't. But people are good enough to give love gifts, donations, tithes, offerings to this ministry. And we're able to keep going. And I don't know how we're doing it, but we managed to get by real well. Just get by, you know. And Wanda and I, at the end of the year, we look at what we've got left and we'll see how much we can, you know, get for ourselves. But all of the, everything that we have in these videos, DVDs, and by the way, that's in DVD. That format is the DVD for Codex Magica, the Freeman Perspective. But, you know, folks, everything is done by God here. And God dictates that we're gonna be in business here. And we went well over 30 years and God has protected us. We've had we've had everything. FBI visits and IRS and a lot of people try to shut us down. They don't believe in free speech, of course. But we just keep on. We keep praying to the Lord Jesus and he protects us. We don't do it ourselves because the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Think about that. Greater is he that is in you, that's Jesus Christ, than he that is in the world. And the devil can do nothing to stop us. Not one thing can he do. He's tried everything, but he can't. And how do we defeat the devil? The same way you can, folks, through calling on Jesus Christ as Lord. I promise you, if you're his child, he's going to take care of you. And the devil's not going to be able to get a hold of you. But he'll try. Oh my, does he ever try. Okay, let's return to our regular program. We were talking about, the Texas Masons. They were affiliated with the Scottish Rite Lodge, which is, by the way, headquartered in Charleston, South Carolina, on the 33rd parallel. That's interesting. Of course, 33 is the highest number of the rituals of Freemasonry. 33 degrees. Now, down in Mexico, they had a General Santa Anna, and he told the Texans, these Anglo-Saxon, I guess you could say, he said, we're not going to let you have Texas. This is Mexico's. So they started a war with him. And of course, the first big battle they lost, the Alamo. Everybody knows about it. Remember the Alamo. It was a very courageous situation there, and they say everybody died at the Alamo. Maybe one guy was let go so he could go tell the rest of Texans what tragic fate had occurred. Because Santa Anna says it's going to happen to all of you. If you don't give up, don't accept our victory. Well, General Sam Houston refused it. He refused that victory and he said, we're going to win. And, you know, it's interesting, but right down from here, maybe 150 miles down the road, in Houston, Texas, that's named, of course, for General Sam Houston. Sam Houston was the Freemason that was chosen to be the lead guy for the Texas forces. And they weren't very many, just sort of a raggedy force. But they surprised Santa Anna on one, I think it was a Sunday morning. And he had a big, you know, they drank a lot and all these Mexican soldiers and all that. And they were caught sleeping on Sunday morning. And boy, the Texans won a victory. Now, Santa Anna himself, he jumped on his horse and he took off, but he was captured. He tried to get away so fast, he left his peg leg. That's right, he had a false peg leg, a wooden leg. He left it behind in his tent. And you know, because he was a Freemason, they let the guy go later on. How about that? Instead of giving him a trial, they let him go. He went back to Mexico and he was the president of Mexico again. They made him sign a treaty, of course, giving Texas its independence. Now, this happened. This was the Battle of San Jacinto right outside of Houston. And they have built a huge memorial to it. And guess what that memorial is? It is the largest obelisk in the world. Did you hear what I just said, folks? The Freemasons of Texas, to celebrate their great victory over another Mason, who was not, of course, a member of the Scottish Rite, Santa Anna, to celebrate, they built a great monument of San Jacinto, an Egyptian obelisk, the largest, they say, in the world. Now, that was back in 1836. General Santa Anna's army was humiliated, and the Masons said, we have a free and independent country, the Republic of Texas. And guess what? One nation in the whole world recognized them. As far as I know, now maybe you're a historian, you can tell me different. The little country, or the big country, I guess you might say, of France. France recognized Texas, and there is still today a place where you can visit here in Austin, Texas, the French Embassy. Not many people visit it, but I understand this is there, and they made it into a little museum now. The French Embassy. And the French, you know, ambassador would write back to his home and talk about the strange place. We have this embassy building. We're here in the city of Austin, Texas. And we look out our window and there's longhorn cows. There's goats. And all kinds of, right outside our window. By the way, Sam Houston kept the wooden peg leg of Santa Anna as a souvenir. Sort of another humiliation, you know. The guy tried to escape, but they got him, put him in prison for a little while, maybe 6 months, 9 months, somewhere like that. But when he left, they kept his leg. They sent him off without a leg. Well, I understand that recently Mexico complained about this, and Texas decided to give it back. Did you hear anything like that, Jerry? I think that's it. Yeah, I think it was at some museum in Fort Worth, Texas, and they gave it back. Finally gave the peg leg that belonged to Santa Anna. Now, it was then a Masonic Republic, the Republic of Texas. And the French, because, you know, the French, of course, had their revolution, and they had become a Masonic Republic, too. Remember, they used a guillotine to cut off the heads of all those people? Pretty bloody. But they recognized Texas. Now, Texas adopted the boastful slogan of the Lone Star State. This has a Masonic meaning. The five-pointed star. What does it mean? It means man as God. That's what it means. In the Masonic ritual, they call it the blaze of glory, the five-pointed star. This is the central feature of the Texas flag. We have it today. Maybe you've seen its colors are red, white, and blue. It's a Masonic flag. It flies atop the Capitol building in Austin, Texas. That's right, we're the Capitol here. And the Texans, braggarts that they are, decided to build the tallest Capitol building in the whole United States. It's taller than the Capitol in Washington, D.C. That's right. By the way, the French had their own lodge. Their lodge was called the Grand Orient Lodge. A horrible place. It seems befitting to me. The hogs, pigs, and longhorn cattle were roaming the grounds of the French legation or the embassy. It seems like the Masons, the Illuminists, are sort of hoggish in their behavior. Seems like it goes together pretty good there. I don't know. Now, Austin is named after a prominent Mason, Freemason, named Stephen F. Austin. He explained and then he recommended the primitive site there on the Colorado River. He told the legislature of Texas it's a befitting locale of the capital of the fledgling new republic. Now, it seems that witches, magicians, false religionists have always favored a place near water. And boy, do they ever love Texas. Now, Texas is a conservative state, but Austin, I mean, it's so liberal. It's so left-wing. They call this place the People's Republic of Texas. Boy, by the way, we have a lot of water here. A lot of Texas, you know, has tumbleweeds, but we got water. And we got a lot of trees here, oak trees. Now, the oak is a tree that's well known among the witches and the occultists. The oak tree, the holy oak tree, is a favorite of Baal worshipers and witches. And in fact, to this day, I assure you of this, folks. I have studied it. I have researched it. There are witches' covens here in Austin, Texas. And on certain nights of the full moon and of the new moon, they go out and they have their satanic rituals. They go out into the hill country among the oak trees, and they howl to the witch. I've got a picture of the in the newspaper cut out showing these witches out there howling to the moon. Ow! Howling to the moon. It seems like a big waste of time, doesn't it, you, Jerry? To howl at the moon. But the witches here in Texas do it. And Austin's topography is very hillish. People call the city the hill country. And I promise you, there are these astrological cult groups here, and they worship the planets, the moon, the sun, from the various high places. They go up on the hills and they worship them. In fact, one Austin community is even named Oak Hill. It's the site where an old prison chain gang once labored breaking up and transporting rocks. And in the 70s, a restaurant was built on that site, and it was called Convict Hill. But according to the U.S. Forest Service, the Department of Agriculture says that a virus has been decimating many of Austin's lovely major oak trees, the oak wilt. Now, the witches probably are not happy about this, but, you know, I don't know. I've got some oak trees around my house. They're pretty nice. I guess I wouldn't like it either if this oak wilt began to eat on them. But this wilt spreads underground, sort of like devilish. And it goes from tree to tree by the roots. And it can travel for miles and affect hundreds of trees at once. And you first know it when the leaves start turning colors, but it's not autumn. And then they lose their leaves, which is strange because some of these oak trees have beautiful green leaves 365 days a year, but no more. When it's got oak wilt, it's going to die. Is that God's judgment? You think about it. All those the witches out there in these covens loving these oak trees. Maybe God said, I'm going to give you an oak wilt. God does things like that. By the way, I will say this. There's a bedroom community, another city in Austin. See, it's a big metro area. A city called Liberty Hill. So there's Oak Hill and there's Liberty Hill. It's possibly named after the goddess of liberty. Why the goddess of liberty? Because the statue atop the state capitol is in fact a goddess, and she is holding up the blazing star of Freemasonry in her hand. Think about that. You can go Google it up, look inside your encyclopedia or whatever, and look for the goddess of the capital, the goddess of liberty atop the capital of Texas. Why a goddess? Because Masons worship a goddess. They do indeed. Now, stones are so beloved by Masons, they call them ashlars. Well, they're everywhere here. This has got everything the witches and the Satanists would like, and the Masons must love it. There's quarries around here. There's a little town called Granite Shoals. And the Capitol building, which is America's tallest, is built out of granite, solid granite. And it was built according to Masonic architectural principles. It was modeled after the ancient Greco-Roman temples. And it's complete with a huge dome, which represents the pregnant belly, or also the breast of the great goddess, secretly admired and venerated by the Masonic Lodge hierarchy. That's right. Sex rights and all that, they say. I'll talk about that at a later time, perhaps. Now, atop this dome, this Capitol dome, stands a statue of the goddess, which the Masons dubbed as Liberty, the goddess of liberty. Now, interestingly enough, they placed a little red light. And you go by it at night and you look up and there's the statue of the goddess way atop the capital of Texas. And it has a red light, sort of faded, but very, very, very sure, a red light emanating out of the place. And it reminded me of the holy prostitutes. That's what the goddess of mystery, Babylon the Great, read about it, Revelation 17, 18. The holy prostitute, the goddess of Babylon, Greece, and Rome. And there we have it in Texas. So the Republic of Texas has its own Lone Star flag, its own temple, the capital of Texas, and its own goddess. But there's another goddess here, too. I find strange things here in Texas. When I used to teach at the University of Texas, every day I would park and I would walk by a great statue. It was a goddess holding up a flame, and I think her breasts were shown also. She was in a fountain called Littlefield Fountain, and it was called the Goddess of Liberty also, and her name was Columbia. Now, doesn't that turn you on to something? Washington, D.C. What does the D.C. stand for? The District of Columbia, the goddess Columbia. We worship the goddess Columbia, and we have her here in Texas as the main feature of the University of Texas, and right down from her, direct down from her, is the Great Tower, where I think a guy named Charles Whitman took guns and went up there and killed about 25 or 30 people. Now, almost immediately after they won the state of Texas from Santa Ana, the Texans asked the United States to take them in as a state, and they did. By the way, Texas is, I think, one of the only states. It actually says in the state, the agreement that they made with the United States was the state of the Republic of Texas. If at any time it chose to become its own republic again, it could leave the United States. But in 1860, only about 28 years later, it did leave. It seceded and joined the southern states, and they came down and invaded and captured it and conquered it. So the United States broke its own agreement with the Republic of Texas, but that's another story. Now, I want you to think of the highways and roads. Now, as I travel these roads, I began to think of things, strange things. Like there's a very famous highway 360. Three sixes? Get it? 666? Just off of highway 360 is a community they call Jester Estates. Now, the Jesters is a Masonic group. You can join it if you want to. And what does jester mean? It means to be a joker. Well, talk more about that later. Of course, the Shriners are big in Texas. In fact, they have a Shriners hall here in Texas, Ben Hur Hall, I think. And it's over on, I think it's on 360, come to think about it, or it was. They closed it down recently. But right across the street from it, they had another community, and they call that Scottish Trail Estates. You like Scottish Rite. Now, I told you about this largest bookstore in the world, a cult bookstore. It's called the Book People. It was in South Austin on Lamar Street because we had a governor at that time named Mirabeau Lamar. Now, interestingly enough, during the 18th century, during the French Revolution, there was an aristocrat named Mirabeau Lamar, who said of the Illuminati's secret doctrine, quote, it is veritably the code of hell. And there we have a Lamar Street, interestingly. Monsieur Lamar obviously knew what he was talking about. He was a charter member of Weishaupt's corrupt order of the Illuminati. By the way, in San Francisco, they've got the Bohemian Grove, a 42-foot tall idol, a giant owl. But here in Austin, we do have a new age organization called One World Life Services. Get it? One World Life Service. OWLS. Owls. They make Austin their home. I got to know this group because the woman leader of this group claimed she was in touch with ancient spirit guides, including her lover, who was the spirit of a wise Catholic priest who lived in the 16th or 17th century. I don't know. Anyway, amazing. And by the way, one of the biggest buildings in Austin, Texas is the Frost Bank Building on Congress Avenue, right downtown. And it's configured with the face of an owl. Oh, the owls have a lot to say here, don't they? By the way, we used to have a statue of Jefferson Davis on the University of Texas campus, but with all this tomfoolery about getting rid of southern statues, they got rid of it. It's in a museum somewhere now. And there's other things. You know, Lakeway, when I drive around Lakeway, Texas, where I live here, and I passed by a pyramid. And I went and they had a plaque, and it turned out to be a New Age thing. Then I went to a visit in also in Lakeway. They had a monument built there to the Vietnam veterans. It was built by the Masonic Lodge. Now, this monument turned out to be an obelisk. Isn't that funny? Isn't that strange? There's a town, by the way, around here named Round Rock. Round Rock, a little town outside of North Austin. That's where the legendary outlaw and bad man Sam Bass came from. There's a town called Buda. Buda, it's B-U-D-A. I don't know why they don't call it B-U-D-D-H-A. And there's a popular tourist attraction known as Enchanted Rock, just west of the city. That place is frequented by witches, New Age spirit channelers, and other occult travelers. And, of course, there's the famous President Lyndon B. Johnson Library. Now, Lyndon B. Johnson was a master mason, a third-degree mason. Sounds like a big deal, but actually it denotes only the lowly third degree of 33 in all in Freemasonry. And by the way, I told you about 6th Street. There's number 6 again, downtown Austin. It may be tied to the beast. I'm not sure because there's a famous hotel there where this hotel has gargoyles and demon faces looking down at you in stone. You ever seen those kind of places? This place is notorious, 6th Street, notorious for being a debauched place. They have more gays per capita in Austin than any place in the United States, except perhaps San Francisco and New York. More gays in Austin, Texas. More homosexuals. Boy. You know, Jerry, I could go on. I want to tell them about the song that people sing at the football game. The eyes of Texas are upon you all the live long day. The eyes of Texas are upon you. You cannot get away. Well, that song, The Eyes of Texas, came from the Masonic all-seeing eye. They say the eye is upon you, and they chose that for Texas. Well, everything in Austin, Texas is sort of, there's the highway US 290. There you go, 29, this is 18. 18, 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals what? Well, 18. There you go. By the way, right outside of Austin, Texas, there's another little town called Wimberley. To get there, you take Ranch Road 12, and that's called the Devil's Backbone. So travel along the Devil's Backbone right outside Austin, Texas. Amazing, isn't it? By the way, talking about names, you know, they're talking about getting rid of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Robert E. Lee, and all those names. Well, the Austin airport terminal is named for a lesbian. Barbara Jordan was a congresswoman from Houston, and the city council decided to honor this lesbian woman, the first black lesbian to become a congresswoman. And they have a statue of her built out at the airport. Barbara Jordan Airport, I guess it's called. By the way, there's a famous congressman named Pickle here. Congressman Pickle. Now, this name is not a cultic, but I wrote him one time, and I said he was the head of the U.S. House of Representatives committee that took care of the currency. You know, how you design the currency. So I decided I'd write him a letter. I wrote him a letter, and I said, what is the all-seeing eye above the pyramid? That's Egyptian. What's that got to do with the United States? Why don't you take that off of our currency? Come on, give us something American symbol. And he came back with a letter to me and said, I do not intend to take that off. That will stay as long as I'm a congressman. Then I found out the guy was a big muckety-muck in Freemasonry. He was a Mason. Of course, that's a Masonic symbol. He's not going to take that off the currency. Folks, Austin, Texas. It's a weird place. Satanic capital. And I'm reminded of that there's an old song by the Eagles. Remember that group, the Eagles? It was called Hotel California. They had a line in that song that said, you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. You can check out any time you want, but you can never leave. And I think that's the way Austin, Texas is. It is the live music capital of the world. There's a lot of things to see here. And, you know, when you're here, the horned devil plays the flute, and the people dutifully follow the devil. They're in lockstep behind it. And they don't know, Jerry, that once they arrive at their destination, all of them, each and every one, will have to pay the piper. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you'll tune in during this same time each week and discover how powerful Bible prophecy really is.